All right.
Good afternoon. My wife loads me up with all this stuff. Here, start this, read that. And so, yesterday it was a great day to be at Pastor Haynes' party. Ashley did a wonderful job. Everybody did their part. It went over better than I thought. I expect we're going to have, cannons firing off and everything. You know, it didn't. It was really a good day. Everything ran smooth. And here's what impressed me. And I told Pastor, I walked up to him. I said, here's what impressed me. Is with my eyeballs, I can lay my eyes on 168 people, and the number gets bigger, that ran across the Haynes' life, and they made an impact on their life.
Amen.
How about that? 168 people that I could lay my eyes on, and that number's bigger. Because some couldn't show up, some, obviously have passed away and so on. But could you imagine making an impact just on 168 people's lives, so much so that they'll drive across the country to come to your 50th anniversary party? And I thought, my goodness, if I could have something like that, what a wonderful thing it would be, okay? And I'm real thankful for Pastor Hayne and his ministry because RU was a huge instrument in me and my wife's salvation. We lived real religious, okay? I even preached on the streets of Buffalo. I preached at the Buffalo City Missions. I'd stand out there and hold signs on the street corners in Buffalo and preach. Lost, dying and going to hell, knowing I was, something wasn't right. I always had these, something missing in my heart that I just couldn't fill with all this religion that I learned in prison. That's what I learned, religion. I learned how to have a good religion, okay? And it's called the jailhouse religion. And I'll tell you the night, going to RU, miserable, just miserable, okay? Every time we went to RU, it was a fight. It was a battle, second to none, to get there. We get there, and we're listening to Jim King, and then we watched the films, and then we went to our classes, got back up. Me and Amy came back up into the pews, and we're sitting there, and we just looked at each other, and we said, we don't have what these people have. And for the first time in our life, we knew 100% for sure we were lost, dying, and going to hell. I remember the drive back from RU to Pastor John Asquith's house, and it was raining. It was coming down, and I remember walking on his porch and just busting down and said, tonight we realize that we are lost and dying, going to hell. And it was because of RU, it was because of those people, because of watching their lives that made an impact on mine and my wife. And eventually, Tanya and so on. Matter of fact, all but one person that was going to RU with us, they're still in church and doing what's right. Amen. Because that made an impact in our life. And thank God for Dan Bergman was my teacher, and him and Ken Weeder. They made an impact in my life, and I appreciate that. And so, the Haynes made an impact on our life and still are. And I love Pastor Haynes, and I love his wife, and I thank God for him. But if you guys would, turn with me to Mark chapter 5. And you may have heard a message on this before. The Lord's given me something. I knew it was for here. Quite a few weeks ago, I asked Pastor. I said, Pastor, I got a couple messages I'd like to preach. And the last time I preached was on music. And then this one here I knew. So when you were saying you knew a message that you would bring here, this is one of those for me. I knew this message was for a Sunday at 1 o'clock. It didn't matter which one. But Pastor gave me today. So Mark chapter 5. Let's start in verse 25. Okay, Mark 5:25, when you get there. And it says this, and a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years. Now listen, I want you to pay attention to the words because the words are very important in the King James Bible, okay? I know there's Bibles out there in the New King James that say, we only switch a little word here and there. It's a huge difference in those things, okay? It makes a big difference in your reading. It makes a big difference in your Bible when you pay attention to words, okay? And so here it says, a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, verse 26, had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. And when she had heard of Jesus, came in and pressed behind him and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be made whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the plague. And Jesus immediately had known in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press, and said, who touched my clothes? Brother, could you stand up and pray, Pastor Bradfield?
Your loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for this opportunity to be in your house. So much going on in other places, but Lord, it's good to be here. pray, Lord, that you would bless Brother Dale as he brings us your message. You have blessed the messages that we heard before and the songs that we lifted up, Lord. It's good to be able to just to sing good
yes,
songs.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
Might be a long time before we hear them again this coming week. Lord, bless us now. Seal to our hearts and minds these words. Give us something to chew over. That'll keep us occupied the rest of this week, Lord. And just love you and thank you. And we ask all of these things in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus, according to your will.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. And songs, you know, a few weeks ago, I told Pastor Hayes, I really appreciate the songs that you pick out and such, because I believe songs prepare the service. I believe they prepare the heart of the service. I believe that if people are sitting there and they're not singing the songs and that, they're going to miss everything that comes out of that person's mouth. They're not even going to hear what God has to say. But at that person, hey, there's times I come in here, I don't feel like singing, but by the time we're done with the song services, I'm ready to listen, okay? Because I believe the songs are that important. I believe that the people in the pews and the guys standing behind the pews have forgotten the importance of God's songs. I believe that. Okay? And I believe this is why you have people who sit in pews who are not saved. Okay? They've forgotten the importance of God's songs. And I can't go into the whole thing, but in your Bible, it talks about melodies. Okay? Because that's what God uses, melody. He doesn't use all the other stuff, the humdrum, okay? And there's the Lord gave me a message on that. And it's been a help to me and my wife, and I thank God for that. But today, I want to talk about this woman, okay? She's got the issue of blood, so I want to teach a little bit. We don't have time, but if you would cross-reference that to Leviticus chapter 15, okay? Leviticus chapter 15, verses 19 through 30, we'll talk about the women who have an issue of blood, okay? And what they are to do and what they are not to do, and so how they can become clean and so on and so forth, where they're to sit and so on. And so according to Leviticus chapter 15, the woman in Mark chapter 5 would have had this for 12 years, okay? And so for those 12 years, she would have been shunned by her family, okay? She couldn't live in her own home with family. Her community wouldn't let her come into the area. She'd have to sit by herself. And this is all according to the law. She had to be separate. Most ladies, when they had that issue of blood, it went away. Hers never did. Therefore, she was an outcast. She's out there by herself. She's got nothing. She can't be around family. Anything she touched or was around was made unclean, according to Leviticus chapter 15. Okay? Anybody or anything would have been made unclean. Anything. Anything she sat on, touched, anybody. Doesn't matter who it was. But there's one person that wasn't made unclean. That would have been Jesus Christ. Okay? Jesus Christ was not made unclean. Why was he not made unclean when she touched, according to Mark chapter 5? It says here in 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin." It's not like he just came and said, "Okay, I'm just going to take their sin." No, he was made sin for us. He became that sin for us. He became what she had. He became what Dale Morey was, okay? He became that for us who knew no sin. And it says here that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That we, do you understand there's a trade-off here? We get his virtue, he gets our sin. We get his righteousness, he takes our sin. Okay? What a wonderful trade-off. And I sit there time and time again and I watch people's life and I go, man, don't they understand the transaction? Don't they understand what they can get? Don't they understand the trade-off here? It's a wonderful thing for us. It was a horrible thing for Jesus Christ. Here, you know why? That woman who's been separated, that woman who's been unclean for all those years is a picture of a sinner out there and has no clue what to do. They're unclean in everything they do. Leviticus chapters 14 through 16 will tell you that a leper, when they became unclean, they'd walk around yelling, "Unclean! Unclean!" That's not the only thing they did, but they were naked doing it. That's a picture of what's going on in the world today. The sin that's out there, people are so unclean, they're proud of it, they're happy about it, and they're trying to get naked at every opportunity, no matter what. Why? Because they're unclean. They're carrying that around with them, and they're prideful about it. They're okay with it. Jesus is not okay with that. That's what sent him on that cross. He became sin for us who knew no sin. He became sin for us. Man. How about Neil? What if you had to become me? How would you like to, you look at somebody else in this room and you look at their past life and imagine that's what you had to become? How many of you are going to choose to be the other person in that life? Not many, I can promise you that. How many of you would like to have stepped in my shoes? How many of you would like to step in Miss Tanya's shoes? How about my mother's shoes? How many would you like to have stepped in her shoes? Jesus Christ did. Jesus Christ stepped right in that. But you know why? Because each and every one of us were on his heart. Each and every one of us were on his heart. We may get rejected by people. We may get rejected by church people, work people, and whoever else. But we're not going to get rejected by Jesus Christ. You know what? I hear people say this all the time in jail. Well, if God's such a loving God, then why does he put people in hell? He doesn't. They choose that. They reject Jesus Christ. He died for them. That's what he chose. He chose to go on the cross for them. He's not the one rejecting them. They're rejecting him.
That's right.
I did it for 40 years. I was this lady. You ask my mother. I told this to pastor one day. I said, you know what? I can stand in a room full of people and be the loneliest person in the world. I was this lady in my sin. I was that unclean. Everything that I touched, I destroyed. I was that lady. I could be in a home with everybody and it wouldn't matter because I was still so lonely. I felt like she felt. That was my life, being unclean. And then Jesus passes by. How about that? Jesus passes by. And it says here that he became sin, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He took them upon himself. And Isaiah 53:6 is, all we are like sheep which have gone astray. We've turned everyone his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Every single person, I don't care who it is, it's been laid upon him already. It doesn't matter who, what name you want to put out there. It's been done. That's what Jesus Christ came to do. It's not a person that he would reject, but everybody rejects him. He fulfilled the laws and the prophets. Isaiah 53 was a prophecy. Jesus Christ fulfilled it. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, he says, think that I not have come to destroy the law and the prophets, but to fulfill. Everybody's good at discerning what the prophets are. Matter of fact, they got books written all over the place about prophecy. Didn't he say laws and prophets? Nobody wants to go in there and search out the laws that Jesus Christ fulfilled. They'll wait for somebody else to do it for them.
Right.
He said the laws and the prophets. There's a difference. You want to fully understand Jesus Christ, get the laws. Look, I'm going to say this. When you met your spouse, when you're still dating, you wanted to know that person. You did everything in your power to get to know that person. You want to know their color, what their likes, their dislikes. Why don't we do that with Jesus since we love him so much? That includes the Old Testament laws. You want to see why Jesus does what he does? Get in the laws and the prophets. You'll see why. You want to fall in love with Jesus? You don't want to know why decisions are made the way they are, the way he does things? Get in the Old Testament. Get to know him. The problem is, like me, is I fall more in love with the stuff here on the earth, of the world, than I do that. Think not that I come to destroy the law and the prophets. I came not to destroy, but to fulfill. He's had to fulfill every one of them. How many laws can you name that he's fulfilled? What has he done for us? It's more than, here's what everybody wants. Let me not get ahead of myself. According to Leviticus 15, chapter 19, Leviticus 15, verse 19, it says that the woman has an issue. It's part of her physical body. And here it goes. It says, if a woman have an issue, her issue is in her flesh, be blood, then she shall be put apart 7 days, and whatsoever touches her shall be made unclean until the even. And I want you to know, when the Bible is using that word issue, it's talking about something that's in our physical. It's not inside. It's not our mental. It's not our spiritual. It's our physical. It's our body. Okay? And so when he's talking about the issue here, when they're talking about the woman who has an issue of blood, it's something physically going on with her. How do we know that? Because she's seeking physicians. She's seeking the physicians. Okay? And it goes on here and it says, because she's seeking the physicians to be healed. Let me read it to you. Mark 5, 25 and 26 says, and a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, we know this is something physically going on with her. Verse 26 says, and had suffered many things of the physicians and had spent all that she had. It was nothing better, but grew worse. People who continue to turn the world for help continue to grow worse. You have addictions. You have mental problems and all these things. Why? Because they're seeking physicians, okay? King Asa, what happened to him? He had sores on his feet. He could have lived. But you know what it says he did? He sought the physicians and forgot about the Lord. Therefore, the Lord killed him in the next verse. That's what's going on in America today. Today, everybody's running to the physicians for everything, and nobody's running to Jesus Christ for anything. What did the physicians do for me, Amy, besides make me worse? Okay? They made me worse. Especially those who put me on all the mental medication. Now, I understand we need physicians. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is this. Besides the physicians, there's got to be prayer. You hear Neil, actually always ask them when they have something coming up. Why? Because they're turning to God, not just the physicians. They're relying on God for prayer, God's people, and so on. Why? Because they're not just seeking the physicians. Today in America, we don't have that. Everybody has forgotten about God. They're going after the physicians, and they're spending all that they have, all their time, and guess what? They're growing worse and not any better. They have forgotten about God, the holy God, the one who wants to help them out. Issue of blood for 12 years. People who continue to turn to the world for help end up in addictions and depressions and never end up any better. Some of the many examples of this woman with her issue of blood for 12 years is 2 Chronicles. I just told you about that. That's chapter 16, verses 12 and 13. It talks about King Asa. Okay? In case anybody's keeping notes. Verse 13, it says, "And King Asa slept with his fathers and died in the 140th year of his reign because he turned to the physicians and forgot about God." That's what God put in his word. Just like King Asa, this woman had to come to a point in her life. It says, "But until this woman came to the end of herself and her efforts, until she came to the point where she realized this is not working, she would have stayed this way for the rest of her life." Thank God we had a man of God come to our house and said, "I want to be your pastor." And then he listened to God enough to know the sin is to our you. Or else, you know what would have been happening, Amy? Me and you would have been just like this woman, and we would have still been stuck, lost, and maybe possibly even dead, and in hell burning today. This woman did it for 12 years. 12 years she kept doing the same things over and over and over and over and over and expecting a different outcome, and nothing ever changed but got worse. That's the definition of insanity, doing the same things over and over again and expecting a different outcome. It's also the same thing for religion. Religion gets people doing the same things over and over and over again, and it's never a different outcome because they don't have a relationship with Jesus. Jesus Christ is a relationship, not a religion. He's the one who's going to change it all. He will. He won't leave you in that position. Could you imagine if he left her there? I hear people all the time say that. "Well, I got saved and, you know, such and such. And, I think I need to get back in church," and so on and so forth. Their life hasn't changed. They're still smoking dope. They're still out drinking and doing everything else. My goodness, if Jesus Christ did that, I wouldn't want it.
Amen.
Why would I want that? I'm already helpless enough. I need somebody who can help me. I needed help, and I needed it bad. You know what? I had to come to the end of myself. I had to come to the end of my efforts. And I sat in this church, right there where my wife is sitting, for 4 years, and the Word of God was preached to me for 4 years, and I knew I was lost, dying, and going to hell. I knew it. Just like this lady, I had to come to the place to give up my efforts. Mark 5:27 says, "When she heard of Jesus, came in and pressed behind and touched his clothes." What'd you say?
His garment. Sorry.
Garment. But she heard of this man Jesus Christ. She fought through the crowd to get to Jesus Christ. We can't even get people to come and sit in church today. Mm-hmm. This woman here recognized her problem. She had an issue. She was going to come to Jesus Christ with her issue. And she was going to get to him no matter what. She fought through that crowd to get to Jesus Christ. Even if we get people to see their issue today, they won't even come sit in the church pew. It's okay, babe. I'm glad you corrected me. I don't even know what I said. Well, thank God. You caught it. All right. She fought through the crowd. She fought through the shame. She fought through the despair to get to Jesus, and nothing or anyone was going to stop her. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And I remember my pastor pointing that out to me one day. He said, Dale, you're never going to get saved until you become diligent for your soul. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Woo! That set me off and running. You got it. That's what I'm going to do. My wife is always yelling at me because you think you're bad with post-it notes? Thousands and thousands of them I have. All these things that I'm reading, God's given to me, I'm just sticking them all over the place. And she's like, everywhere you turn is a post-it note. And I got folders of folders of it.
Amen.
Do you know what?
Makes sense to me.
Yeah, buddy. But you know what? It took all that. It took all that to show me that I was a rebel against the holy God. I couldn't see it. It was so in front of my face, and I just could not see it. I could. You know why? Because it's got to be the smoking. Oh, it's got to be the drugs. It's got to be the cussing my wife out. That's the issue. That was only the outward thing. That's not what Jesus Christ was after. You know how I know that? Because I'm going to read it to you in a minute. You know what he was after? The plague. Doesn't it say he healed the plague? He didn't say anything about healing the issue.
Amen.
All people in America want to do is get their issues dealt with.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ is after the plague.
That's good. That's good.
Amen. How about that? This is why your words are so important in your Bible.
Yeah.
I'm spiritualizing a little bit, but let me just tell you this. Jesus Christ healed her. He made her whole.
Amen.
He didn't leave her issue or plagues.
It'll work. Okay? Amen.
He didn't leave her issues or plagues. And we're going to get a little bit more into that. Nothing was going to stop her. She was going to be diligent to get to him. You know, no one just stopped her and said, hey, all I need you to do is just trust Jesus. She heard of what he can do. How did she know to go to him? Because she's heard of him. She listened for herself and she believed. She listened. She didn't just hear. How many people are out there? We try to go out there and witness to it. All they do is hear, but they've never listened. Listen to me. Listening will bring you to the point of belief. Belief will drive you to do something. She believed, therefore she fought through that crowd. She was going to get that healing. All we have is a bunch of hearers.
Amen.
Listening will make you do something. When belief comes into your heart, when you get that belief, it will drive you to do something. Your life will reflect what you believe. Brother Mark said it earlier, actions speak louder than words. And it does. People can see it. It's going to drive in your life. 2 Peter talks about it in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. It says, and add to these things, and with all diligence, add to these things virtue, and add to your faith, add virtue, and so on. But you know, at the very last, it says this, and if these things abound in you. What's abound mean? It's so big, people can see them in your life. I mean, do you have to walk up to somebody and say, hey, did you know I'm a Christian? Shouldn't these things abound in your life enough where they look and go, there's something different about that person? That's what he's talking about, those things that are abounding. People can look and go, what is it? Hey, salt. Jesus Christ, Leviticus chapter 2, verse 13, it says this, and all the offerings will be salted. Mm-hmm. Mark 9:49 tells you this, a person who dies and goes to hell will be salted. Go read it, 9:49, Mark. It says they'll be salted. Why? Because God made a promise that they'll all be salted. But hang on. Jesus Christ said, go out there and be salt on the earth. He calls us to be salt. Why? Because in Romans 12, 1 and 2, he says, you're a living sacrifice. Get out there and be the salt.
Amen.
Salt was done what? It adds flavor. What else does salt do? It's a preservative. How about that that God nudges your heart and you don't open your mouth to that person? How about it? And they die and go to hell. That preservation didn't work. You know what Jesus Christ said? You know what it's worth? Throwing it underneath people's feet to be trampled. That's what it's worth. They were called to be salt. Called to go out there and give some flavor to these people in life. Why? To those ones. Thank God. We have some men sitting amongst us who were to salt. And I always tell people this. What I seen in my pastor was not his religious views.
Good.
What I seen in my pastor was not his ways of life. I seen Jesus Christ in my pastor, and that's what made me desire what he had.
Good.
He was fulfilling Romans 8:29. People want to know what a calling is in their life. Romans 8:28, they use it to make people feel real well. You can't finish until you finish verse 29, where it says that we're called, we're predestined to be what? Conformed into the image of his son, Jesus Christ. Why? So that people can see Jesus in us. More of him, less of us. More of him, less of us. How can we be salt? How can people seek Jesus? Why would they desire anything that we have if they're seeing anything but what Jesus Christ done in our life? They don't. This lady here knew it. She believed it. She listened and she went and she fought. She stayed this way for 12 years, seeking everything but Jesus Christ. How about that? You think that's long? 40 years. I lived my life seeking everything else but Jesus. 40 years of doing that. Oh, the pain. My body has just been riddled with pain the last month and a half. I'm telling you, I'm being tortured. My body is killing me. I'm hurting bad. Thank God Miss Pam was able to get me a bed, a Craftmatic, and I can get some sleep. Otherwise, I'd be an absolute mess. You ask my wife, she sees it. But you know what? I live under God's grace to get me through that stuff. I still hold the job. I still go out there and do what I'm going to do. I still have to mow the lawn. I still got things that I need to do. Why? Because God's grace is sufficient for me. I realize that. I do. I have to count on that. At this point, this lady only knew of her issue. And this is where most people are blind today, Pastor. All they see is their issues. All they see is their addiction. All they see is their smoking. All they see is their cussing or their beating, or all they see is their thievery. They don't see anything else. They see their issue. And then they want to come to people like Pastor Hayne or Pastor Bradfield. They want to come to us and say, can you help us? And all they're seeing is their issue. They're not seeing the real problem. You need to get them in the church pews to be able to see that real problem. They won't come in here. And when they do, they don't want to stay. Because they want to come to you with tears. Oh, can you help me? I'm in so much trouble. What's the problem? And then just tell you their issue. They don't even know what's going on. They have no clue about anything else. But God is trying to show them the inward things. Proverbs 20:27 says, the spirit of man is the ken of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. God's in there trying to stir that inward part up. He's trying to wake them up and show them what they have to see. And for 4 years, I sat in that pew thinking that I wanted God to show me what it really was, and I would rebel against it every single time. And I just refused to see it. And so I understand what it's like to have people sitting in the pews knowing and watching their life saying they just won't see it. They're being rebels. They're not going to let God show them. What's going to happen is they're going to leave here after the 1 o'clock service. And they're going to do exactly what James 1 says. They're going to close that Bible up, and they're not going to look at what God just showed them about themselves. They do it all the time. I remember a month after getting saved, I looked at my wife. I said, you know what? It's wonderful hearing this stuff. I said, but we need to bring it home. We got to bring it home. Church is beyond just building. Church is home. Church is work. Church is out there in the community. Church is in the grocery stores. Man, that's where it's all got to be. It can't just be here.
That's right.
I have two children that watch the hypocrisy of their parents. You go, gosh, you're saying you're a hypocrite? Yes, I'm a hypocrite in things. Okay? I am. And I apologize to my children for that constantly. Because I never want them to think, look at mommy and daddy, they think they walk on water. That would make my children despise me. I sit down and I explain my mistakes to them. I apologize to them. I said, now we're going to try to get this right. We're going to do this together as a family. You're going to pray for me, and I'm going to pray for you. We're going to get this right as a family. I don't want to destroy my kids with my hypocrisy. I don't want them to be destroyed. I watch too many Christian kids who are not in churches today because their parents destroyed them with the hypocrisy. I don't want to do that to my children. I don't want to do it to my children. God is trying to change the inward, and then the outward will change. It's backwards today. People are changing the outward and not the inward, and wonder why they end up in the same depressions, in the same addictions, in the same inner turmoil that they've always had. It's easy to be feigned or fake the outward part of a person's life, but their insides are still full of dead men's bones, as Jesus says in Matthew 25. You'll never get a person to admit that, Pastor. They'll look you dead in your face, and you can watch their life, and you know it's torn up and twisted. They'll look at you and go, I'm okay, I'm safe. And inside, they're dying. They just won't let go of that rebelliousness. That's what it was for me. Just being that rebel. When God would show me things, I would ignore it and say, that is not me. That's for somebody else. That's for somebody else, Dale?
Yes.
That's for you. Just like this lady. Separate for 12 years. Separate, not listening. I'm going to finish up here. Mark 5:29 says, straight away the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body as she was healed of the plague. Jesus revealed to her plague. He had to show her her issues, the physical outward part of her, were just the surface of the real problem, and that the plague is the inward spiritual part of her. Okay? He had to reveal that to her, that the issue is just your outward thing. That cussing and swearing and drinking and drugging, that's just an outward issue. That's not what Jesus Christ is trying to get to. He wants that plague. He wants to get in there and he wants to reveal that thing. And it says here, noticed that she never said a word after that because her mouth had been stopped. I'm going to read a couple of verses real quick. Psalm 62:11 says, but the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by him shall glory, but the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. Romans 3:19, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may become guilty before God. Her mouth was stopped. She never says another word after that. It's done. Amen. Jesus Christ took care of her issue. And he took care of the plague. And she knew that. And he says, your faith has made you whole. You see, brother, people are looking for the outside healing. Because when God starts chipping away on that plague, it's painful, Pastor Hain. You ask my wife, I would cry at night because the things the Lord was showing me about myself. It would tear me up. I'd have nightmares about it. But you know, I thank God that I went through it. Because when I came out on the other side, I came out a whole lot better than when I was back there.
Amen.
God had to bring... You think it was easy for her to have that plague? You think it was easy for her to have that issue for all those years? It wasn't. You think it was easy for me for 40 years carrying that with me? It was not. I carried it with me. I carried the scars of a man who sexually abused me horribly. I carried the abuse of somebody, a woman who sexually abused me horribly. I carried those with me. Those were my outside issues. It just made my plague worse and worse. And then I tried fueling it with my own drugs, my own alcohol, and my own things that the doctors would give me and such. And you know what it did? It made me worse and worse. And Jesus Christ had to come in there and he had to clean that. You know what he did, Tanya? He made me whole. No. Pastor, I kid you not, as I stand here tonight, Jesus Christ made me whole. My past doesn't haunt me for one second. What that man did to me, I could walk up to him right now, I would shake his hand and preach Jesus Christ to him. I promise you I would do that. Because I don't have one ounce of hate towards that man right now. Because you know why? I live in forgiveness. Amen. I live in forgiveness. People go, how'd you get that? Hey man, I didn't do it. Jesus Christ gave me a miracle. And I wish I could express it more. I know it sounds lame, but I wish I could express the miracle that Jesus Christ did inside my heart. I really wish I could express it more than I can standing here. Because he gave me a gift that I don't have to suffer anymore. I don't have to suffer with that stuff anymore. He's taken it from me. Man, he gave me a gift of being free inside. Free from all the depression and the wrath. Free from the bitterness and the hate and the anger that was me. Because of that, he made me whole. Doctors' medicines couldn't do it. You ask my wife how many pills I used to take. And all they did was make me worse. They made me suicidal. They made me fat. I mean, I was almost 300 pounds. I couldn't barely move. And the doctor finally came to the point. My wife was sitting there. He said, Mr. Morey, there's nothing else we can do for you. And thank God they gave up on me, because that's when Jesus started coming in my life. How about that? When the world, you know what, Neil? When I finally came to the end of myself and there was nothing else for me to turn to, Jesus Christ stepped in. Isn't that what happened to this lady? Isn't that what happened to this lady? After 12 years, she finally came to the end of herself and stopped trying to do things on her own, and she finally got it. She finally realized, Jesus, who? Hang on, let me get to him. Woo! She wasn't going to stop. I'm closing. Mankind, including Baptists, are too busy trying to fix the issues and not knowing that the issues are only the outward sign of the deep inward problems called the plague. Mankind can't touch the deep root of the real problem, but Jesus can. And that's why it's so important for men of God to stay faithful in the preaching Jesus Christ, because only He's going to be able to get to the plague. We may be able to help them with one issue or maybe two issues, but Jesus Christ is going to help them with the plague that's plaguing them. It's obvious when He says that the physicians couldn't do it, but Jesus Christ did. Not only He didn't say anything about healing the issues, but you know, if He said your faith made you whole, not only did He heal the issues, but the plague as well, Josh. He says it. So many are self-medicating, numbing the hate and the bitterness, addictions and behaviors, seeking doctors and medicines, or turning to self-help called religion. Everybody's called, turning to a self-help program, and it's called religion, and it's doing them no good. They are never able to get to the real problems, which is the plague. And every time you see the word plague, it's talking about the inward, okay? It's got to talk of your inward. But hang on. The deep-rooted hate and bitterness and sin. She came to Jesus with an issue, but Jesus dealt with her plague and in turn fixed her issues. Won't you come to Jesus today? Don't come to Him just with your little issues. He wants to go beyond just your issues. You come to Him and say, Lord, as Job 10:1 says, Lord, don't condemn me. Show me wherefore Thou contendest with me. Lord, what is it? What is it that, what is the plague that I won't see? What are You trying to show me? Show me that thing. I can guarantee you this. You become diligent in that thing. Don't let go of it. You become diligent. You stay diligent in it. He'll heal it all. Pastor, I'm done.